Now, normally the third week of Advent is the week when churches look at John the Baptist. But we're not going to look at John the Baptist today. We're going to look at his mum and dad, which makes a bit of a change, doesn't it? Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, it's quite interesting to me that Luke devotes almost the whole of one chapter to the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth, John's mum and dad. And he says an awful lot about it. And I just have a feeling that when Luke was going around collecting information from people all over the place, he actually had the chance, he must have done, to collect quite a bit of information, either from Mary, the mother of Jesus, who would be getting a bit older by now, by the time he got there, or from John the Apostle, who she went to live with after the crucifixion. But either way, Luke collected a lot of information that we have in his first two chapters. And Zechariah was quite an important person in the Jewish community at that time. He was a priest in the temple, and both he and his wife Elizabeth were of a very important Jewish line of descent, and very godly people, but, and it's a big but in those days, they had no children, which in those days was considered a really bad sign. A bad sign that something had gone wrong, that you'd done something wrong, that you were evil, that you hadn't followed God. So it was a big letdown that they couldn't have any children. Now they were too old to have children. And it was said, what have we done wrong to be left without something so important to us? But then it all changed. And the result was John the Baptist was born. And surprise, surprise, Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, was a relative, probably a cousin, of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So it kind of linked in quite well. And that takes an important part in the account that we're going to be looking at. So it's quite interesting to have seen this appearing on the plan for today's service. And my thinking, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to say? But it's actually quite interesting and important because these were a very significant couple for the history of the church. And I hope as we think through it a bit this morning, it will be coming through to us how we can reflect and benefit from some of the things that they went through. We're going to have the first of our Bible readings today. They're both read by Kathy Bishop, and it's various excerpts taken from Luke chapter 1 to try and put together the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And here's the first one. Thank you, Kathy.
Luke 1, 11 to 20 and 57 to 64. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or any other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord, their God. He will be a man with the Spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. "It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, and rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God.
Thank you very much. Well, Zechariah, how many times have you read that passage? Because I haven't read it very much, because you reckon to go on a little bit. It's like in Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter is everybody's father and son, and you just skip that mostly, even though it can be quite significant. But let's have a look about Zechariah. What I'm going to do in this first part of the talk is talk about Zechariah. And what I'm going to do is to put simply quotes of some of the reading that we've had, but not to go through them again, but just to highlight some of the issues that we find out about Zechariah and how God used him in those. So this is the first one. Some quite interesting words here. When Zechariah was in the sanctuary, which is for any of the priests probably only once in their lifetime, so a very special day, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and you notice that the reaction of Zechariah to the angel appearing was that he was shaken and he was overwhelmed with fear. I mean, you might think that if you see an angel and you're doing your special once-in-a-lifetime incense thing, you might think there was something very wonderful going on, but he was actually really afraid. The but in it, though, and there are quite a few buts in this passage, the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." And what was his prayer? It was a lifelong prayer that he and Elizabeth might have a baby together. Because apart from the fact that it was a very serious difficulty in those days in terms of the Jewish religion, they would obviously love to have had a family, but they didn't, and now they were too old for it. But then the angel said, and he went on and on and on, talking about the baby that Elizabeth was to have, and what this John, who we now know as John the Baptist, was going to do. And it's will give, will do, will this. It was so many things that were going to happen that he'd never even thought about. She will give you a son. You are to name him John. You'll have great joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Haven't finished yet. He will turn many Israelites to the Lord. He'll be a man with the spirit of Elijah. He'll prepare the people. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Just goes on and on and on. Will, he will, he will, he will, he will. And what did Zechariah say in response to that? Did he say, "Oh, that's great. We really look forward to that"? No, he didn't. His response to the 11 you wills, did you count them? There are 11 of them, because I counted them, yes, of course. The will is one of the words he said back, but it was a word of doubt. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." These things will happen. 11 times the angel went to the trouble of saying it, and Zechariah saying, "I've no idea how that can happen. We're a bit older now. We never had children at all." So his response was doubt, even when he had God's great promise given to him. So he had a little problem happened after that. The angel obviously was not desperately pleased about that, because he said, "Since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born." In other words, you're not going to be able to say a word for the next 9 months or so. Now, Zechariah's wife would probably be quite glad about that, because I know when I don't say much, my wife is very pleased with that. But what a thing to happen for Zechariah, a priest in the temple, serving in lots of ways. And it was not just silent, but twice in this chapter, there are suggestions that he might have been deaf as well as silent. So what the angels are probably thinking is and saying, he would be actually deaf and dumb for more than 9 months. What a desperate thing. Doesn't it seem a bit unfair after such a faithful lifetime? But it was so serious. But the angel went on to say, "For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." So what we have here was an until, a long until, 9 months, even more than 9 months, until soon after that, Elizabeth became pregnant, and throughout her pregnancy, he couldn't speak, so he's probably had to do the washing up and put the cooking away and all this sort of thing. But when John was born, this is what Zechariah said. Zechariah wrote a prophecy, a quite longish poem, and the beginning of it was all about John. And I love the way Zechariah expressed this. "And you, my little son..." Oh, there's more wills here, isn't there? He's learned about the will, "you will. You will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way of the Lord, flee for the Lord, and you will tell people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins." So Zechariah is completely turned round from the Zechariah that he was some months ago. He'd obviously been thinking about all this over those times, and at least he could write things down, which was something. And he finished that poem as well by saying this: "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." And that's so similar to the verse from the beginning of John's Gospel that I read out when I lit the candles. But just let's have a think about what we can learn from Zechariah. Quite a few things, and if we go home and read Luke 1 sometime during the week, we can learn all sorts of other things from what I've said here. We can, for example, learn things from the hard times, from our doubts and mistakes, and even when our doubts and mistakes lead us eventually to our blessings. It leads us from "how can I be sure" to "you, my little son," doubt to certainty. And secondly, we can look back to realize how God guided, how he helped, and how he can prepare us for the future. So learn from the hard times as they go through to blessings. Look back to realize how God has guided and helped us. And finally, look forward to the future, because the future can quite often be unexpected. So that's what we think about with Zechariah, and we'll come back in a little while to Elizabeth. Kathy's now going to come and read the second part of our Bible reading, which is from mainly the latter parts of Luke chapter 1. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy.
Luke 1, 39 to 45, 56 and verse 80. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honoured that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for those readings. And here we have Elizabeth, who spent 3 months with Mary, the mother of Jesus. 3 months together. That must have been a wonderful 3 months, wasn't it? Because they both had such a strange, miraculous situation. So again, let's have a look at some extracts from the passage in Luke 1 and see what are the sort of things that happened or was said. One expression that I love is this: when Zechariah had finished at the temple, he went home. Soon after that, Elizabeth became pregnant, and she went into seclusion for 5 months. We don't know why. It might have been simply just to make sure that she didn't catch anything or she didn't have any problems or whatever. But this was even more in Zechariah's washing up and doing all sorts of things days. But the lovely expression, I think, from this, when she became pregnant, was how kind the Lord is. That's how it's expressed in the New Living Translation, which we're using this morning. How kind the Lord is. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. And it puts so much into a nutshell. But then we hop over to Mary. And this is about 5 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant. The angel appeared to Mary. And it says, the angel to Mary said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. She has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. And there was no need for Elizabeth to have written a letter over to Mary, because the angel told Mary, who, by the look of it, didn't know at that time. But that was the very well-known announcement to Mary as to what would happen. And that really impressed Mary, to have that announcement and to know that Elizabeth, a few months earlier, had become pregnant as well. So what happened? And again, these highlighted words, I think, just express how important this incident was to Mary, because it says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea. Now, hurried is quite something, because it was about 4 or 5 days' journey from where we think Elizabeth lived, from Nazareth, where Mary was. So it was a hurried journey, and it was just a few days later to the town where Zechariah lived. And she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was, guess what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. So by putting those two slides together, although they come from different parts of that chapter, we see that the Holy Spirit had a special job here. He had the special job, first of all, of ensuring that Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then that Elizabeth, her cousin, was filled with the Holy Spirit too. And so they became in their turn the mother of John and the mother of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit clearly was very significant there, and we can learn from that. But of course, when this happened to Elizabeth and Mary was there, Elizabeth gave a great cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you, and so on. And then she said, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? Elizabeth already had, without very much information about it, the knowledge that Mary would be the mother of the Lord. Now, Lord in the Bible, there are different words to express in the Hebrew and the Greek, what we know as the word Lord. But it was God, or it was Savior, or it was Messiah. It was all kinds of things like that. The mother of my Lord should visit me. Why am I so honored? And when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. So that's a lovely expression, isn't it? The mother of my Lord should visit me. And she ended by saying, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. But the one thing that I think is quite significant here is that Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. She went back just before John was born. But 3 months together for relatives who clearly were very fond of each other must have been an amazing time for that. It was, how can I put it, 3 months of girl time. Can I put it like that? They'd both been through so much. And in a sense, it was quite helpful for them to be able to support each other through their pregnancy, as well as the fact that if it was back in Nazareth, people would see what had happened to Mary before she had actually got married, and they would go tut, 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 tut. So it was a good idea she went away, but then she went back at that right time. And then we come to the concluding bit here. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. Well, at that time, Zechariah couldn't say it for himself, but normally in the culture of those days, it was the father who was the first person to speak the name of the child who had just been born. And this was an exceptional thing because Zechariah couldn't speak anyway. But it was more exceptional because it was his mother, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who said, no, his name is John. And it was only after that that Zechariah actually could write down his name is John. And then after all those months, he could speak and hear as well. So what can we learn for ourselves, as well as the wonderful meanings of this account? I love that expression, as I just said, about how kind the Lord is. And if that's an expression that we can maybe carry around or something like that, and when we find that God blesses us, even when times have been difficult, words in our minds such as how kind the Lord is just can have so much meaning to us. And be sure that the Lord will appreciate when we say or think those words. Secondly, it's so important to spend time together with each other. With Elizabeth and Mary, it was 3 months. Now, just think of the past 3 years with the lockdowns and not really being able to meet together for worship, and only now really being able to spend time with each other. And we need to do it as much as ever we can. Just being together. We won't be able to manage the 3 months living together, I'm sure, as they were. But it was quite a significant period. And the more time and the more close we get to know each other, the better it is. So how kind the Lord is. Spend time together. And finally, allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit in those relationships, which was so obvious from those. But there is a number four here. The number four is, as we go through life, don't worry if we feel written out of the story of what's happening. Because sometimes we can do that. We can go through periods where we say, you know, I'm not really quite sure what I'm here for. What am I doing? I don't seem to be doing much useful, and so on. Think of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Neither of those is mentioned ever again. But what an important role they played. And if people even don't mention our names or don't think about it or whatever the situation is, don't worry about the future if we sometimes feel written out of the story of our lives. And we can't do things that we used to. Just think of the fact that Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't need to get mentioned again in the rest of that New Testament. So think of that lovely, lovely picture, isn't it, of Elizabeth and of Mary. And think of how they both can be significant to us. And now we say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.